Now, if you have your Bible, will you turn to the fifth chapter of Galatians? The fifth chapter of Galatians, at the 11th verse. And let's don't leave it till we understand it. Galatians 5:11. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Now let everyone in here say, then is the offense of the cross ceased. Everybody. Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Now this word translated offense is the Greek word skandalon. It means the it is the word from which we get our word scandal. It is translated stumbling block. It means disgrace. It's something that's very offensive. And the cross of Jesus Christ preached without anything else, anything added to it, is a scandalon, as we'll show you. We've had two men stand in this pulpit who are pretty well established in grace, and both of them made the same statement. They said, we agree with your pastor 98%, and the 2% does not make any difference. But the 2% that they reserved was to keep them from the offense of the cross, because the two of them added something to the cross to take away the offense of the cross, the scandalon, the scandal of the cross. If you'll turn now to the 16th chapter of Matthew, and you will remember the conversation of Simon Peter and the Lord in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. In the 21st verse, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. I want you to think of that. Peter rebuking the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he say to him? Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But the Lord Jesus turned to Peter and he said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. He didn't say, get thee behind me, Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan. Why? Thou art a scandalon. Thou art a scandal. Thou art a disgrace unto me. Why do you think I was born? How do you think the human race is going to be redeemed if I don't go to the cross of Calvary and die? He was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. He was in a sense a scandal unto his father. Why do you suppose that Almighty God put a dark cloud between the cross of Calvary and himself when Jesus Christ cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why do you suppose there was darkness on the earth? Because the Son of God, who was the creator of the universe and Almighty God in human form, was being made a curse on that tree. And he was being made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. And God says, I cannot look upon iniquity and behold it. He couldn't see his Son there. He put the cloud between them, because there was the scandal of the cross. And the scandal of the cross has never ceased. And when you add anything to the cross of Calvary for your eternal redemption in this age of grace, you're positively, absolutely, 100% out of the will of God. I want you to see, this is 1957 A.D. Choir, what does this say? What does this title say? Stick to Moses. I want you to look at it. Stick to Moses. Written by the Roman Catholic Church. Stick to Moses. Think of sticking to Moses. When the Bible says, cursed is every man that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. By the law, by Moses, let every mouth be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. Stick to Moses. Why? So you can go back to Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Numbers and get the seven sacraments and bring them over and take away the offense of the cross. Stick to Moses. If you stick to Moses, you'll go to hell just as sure as 2 and 2 are 4. 380 million people in this denomination or this church that says stick to Moses. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to do. And Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. The law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And Romans 4 says to us, the law worketh wrath. Am I to stick to something that works wrath and takes me to hell? Where are we today? When Paul wrote to the Galatians, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And he was talking about bringing the teachings of Moses over into the gospel of the grace of God. And we have today ritualism and modernism and fanaticism. And 88% of the church members are in ritualism, modernism, or fanaticism. And every one of them have been brought there by sticking to Moses. A little leaven that leaveneth the whole lump. Thou art an offense unto me. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We'd like to have you to be our king. We'd like to have you here to throw away the Roman yoke. We want you to redeem Israel and give us the land. But be it far from you to go to the cross of Calvary. What do the modernists say today? Oh, yes, we'll take the ethics of Jesus. We'll take the Sermon on the Mount. We'll try to struggle with that. We'll take the Ten Commandments. But what did the modernists say out in Los Angeles? If I have to go to heaven by trusting in a weak man that was so weak that he had to die on the cross, he says, I don't want to go to heaven. Oh, beloved, you can't get to heaven in any other way. Modernism today, they're sticking to Moses. The Jews today are sticking to Moses. The Adventists today, the seventh day, are sticking to Moses. Thousands of people today that follow in the train, in the steps of Cain. Cain did not accept salvation by blood. He believed in salvation by character, by blood, by works. I want to do something. You talk to the next 10 people you see. Well, if there is a heaven, I'm going to get there. I'm not worse than the other fellow. God says, shut your mouth. By the law, let every mouth be stopped. You're guilty before God. You're a lost sinner. You're condemned. You're ruined. And there's no hope for you except the cross of Calvary. Now we turn to the first chapter of Corinthians. How plainly it's set forth here. 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter. Notice. Come down in the 1st chapter, rather, in the 21st verse. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, some people seem to believe that that means the preaching of foolishness. Not at all. It's the foolishness of preaching. Why does he call the preaching by which we're saved foolish? Because if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Satan has blinded their mind. The whole world lieth in the lap of the devil. And the Lord says no man can take the strong man's house until he bind the strong man. And as I've said so many times, when anybody tells me, this is what I believe. Why, I said, I know what you believe. You believe exactly what the devil wants you to believe. You either are led by the Holy Spirit to believe the truth, or you believe the devil's lie. And he lied to Adam and Eve in the garden. Ye shall not surely die. What's the son of perdition going to do? This civilization. I read Wednesday night from the United States News and Report, the whole world is in trouble. France and England on the brink of bankruptcy. Indonesia about to topple. The Philippines in a bad condition. All the world, all Central America, and it got the picture and pictured every country in the world. The condition that they're in today. Well, we're headed for Babylon. Babylon in religion, Babylon in politics, Babylon in economy. Everything is headed for Babylon. Because God tells us that in the book of Revelation, Babylon means confusion. And God knows if there ever was confusion. Did you notice yesterday, hear the report yesterday, how the man was going to get even with Russia for launching the moon satellite? He said, you just watch us within a few months. We're going to get a device and we're going to bombard the moon. Yes, before the notable day of the Lord comes, the moon is going to be turned into blood. And the world is going to head up in the Antichrist, the son of perdition. And people are, by the millions, going to believe the liar and be damned because they would not believe the truth. I fear lest as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, your minds will be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. How wonderful it is to lay aside all your religion like the Apostle Paul and come to the cross of Calvary and say, I'm a poor, unworthy, hell-deserving, lost, condemned, ruined sinner. And my only hope is that man that died on that cross. And my dear friend, salvation is just as free as the air you breathe. And if you today will put your trust in the Son of God, you do not have to do one other single thing to be in heaven forever and ever. He that believeth on the Son of God is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now notice what he says. After that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And when you read that, it pleased him. Go back to the 53rd chapter in Isaiah and read about God and Christ when it said it pleased the Father to bruise him. Can you ever explain how it pleased a God of love to bruise his Son on the cross? Let him die as a malefactor in the place of Barabbas and die between two thieves, an ignominious death. And there he was deserted by all of his friends. And in the midst of his agony, he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did he die there? He suffered for sins once, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. We're not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus, and how precious it is in the sight of God. And notice how precious in the moment it should be to us. Now notice, the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks, or the wisdom of this world, seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, a scandal, an offense, a disgrace. Do you know any Jew with all their synagogues that you could go to that Jew and tell him today, your only hope is in your Messiah who died on the cross, and 600 years, several hundred years before he died, Daniel said, Messiah shall be cut off in 62 weeks. And he'll not be cut off for himself, but he'll be cut off for his people. And his people were the Jews. And the 53rd chapter of Isaiah said, all the Jews like sheep have gone astray. He wasn't talking about Gentiles. Gentiles never were sheep. They were dogs. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's the scandal of the cross. Now notice again. He says again here, notice. We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a scandalon, a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. When I was saved in November 1899, immediately after I was saved, my favorite verse was Galatians 6:14. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and the world is, and I am crucified unto the world. And every time I was tempted to do something wrong, the cross of Calvary came before me. That's what it means to be crucified to the world. God forbid that I should glory, not in the teachings of Jesus Christ, but in the cross of Jesus Christ. That was the greatest statement ever made by the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest, and he was a man who had been very moral and religious, who said he had been void of offense toward men and God because of his religious activities. But he said, I got all my religion and I threw it in the scrap heap that I might have Christ. And he said, from now on, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. All right, notice the next verse. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Read the headline. The poor, confused world today. Our politicians, where are we running out? We're running out of the times of the Gentiles. We're going to head up. But thank God, before we head up, God's going to accomplish his purpose. He's going to get every member of the body of Christ in. And we're going to be saved from it. Now we turn over to the 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter, the second chapter. Speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, the third verse. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have you tasted? Is he gracious? Are you trusting in your religion or your church membership or your morality or your liberality or your gifts? trusting in that? God says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Anyone who turns to religion instead of turning to the cross of Calvary, God says, you're twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Now notice what he says here. To whom coming as unto a living stone, 1 Peter 2:4, rejected indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Precious! Oh, how precious was the Lord Jesus Christ to his Father. He said, Father, thou lovest me from before the foundation of the world. No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten in the bosom of the Father. In the bosom of the Father. And Christ said, I and Father are one. Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Are you confounded? Do you want to have a title to heaven? Do you want to have a real no-soul salvation? Well, you stand still and see the salvation of the Lord this morning, and you just trust and rest in the finished work of the Lord Jesus. And let me say this to you, reverently speaking, God can't do anything else but save you and take you to heaven. He must do it. His honor is at stake. Now notice the next verse. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. 9 out of 10 businessmen today, going along, and we read of the achievements in men in science and business. Where does the Lord Jesus Christ come in? You ever hear of the Chamber of Commerce having a meeting? Say, before we begin, let's exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. When the United Nations meet, do they say, let's talk about the one who's elect and precious? He's not in all their thoughts. And the Lord said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. He's elect and precious. Unto those that reject him, he's the rock of scandal, the rock of offense. Now we close with the 9th chapter of Romans, please. In the 9th chapter of Romans, just a few words. Now here we are, the Lord Jesus Christ died about 33 A.D. Romans was written in the year 60 A.D., 27 years later. And the Lord did everything he could to convince the Jews. He saved the most rebellious Jew that ever lived on this earth, was Paul. He hated Jesus Christ and the Christians as nobody ever did. And after Peter had preached his message and the 12 had preached and given their testimony about the resurrection of Christ, the Lord saved the Apostle Paul as a sample to let the Jews see of his mighty grace. And nobody ever hated the Lord like Paul did. And then Paul went out and he went all the way from Jerusalem to Illyricum, and everywhere he went to the Jew first. And he went into the synagogues of the Jews and testified that Jesus was the Son of God and that he must needs have suffered. And he said, according to your scriptures, you know that he had to die on that cross. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and put him in the sepulcher. You know, according to your scripture, that Christ died for our sins and was buried and was raised again. You know you're without excuse before God. What did they do? They tried to stone Paul to death. We said, we don't want you. We don't want the gospel of grace. What we want Moses. They wanted just like this book. We want to stick to Moses. Now notice what they did in the 9th chapter of Romans. In the 9th chapter of Romans, in the 30th verse. What shall we say then? The Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness. Even the righteousness which is of faith. They skipped clear over Moses, had nothing to do with the 1500 years from Sinai to Calvary. All they did is to come by faith to the cross of Calvary. And there the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's only one thing you need to get into heaven, that's righteousness. Only one way where you can find it, that's at the cross of Calvary. Now notice what he says here. He says, Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? They were sticking to Moses. We don't want Christ. We want Moses. We're willing to take the Sermon on the Mount, some of it. We're willing to take the law. But we don't want the cross of Calvary. That's a scandal on. That's an offense. That's a stumbling block. Just as much in 1957 as it was way back in 57. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. Let me ask you a question, my dear friend. Are you saved this morning? If you die tonight, would you go to hell or go to heaven? Everybody on this earth ought to know whether or not you'd go to hell or to heaven if you die today. You're going to one place or the other. And the only thing between all the people in hell forever and between all the people in heaven forever will be the shed blood of the Lord Jesus shed on the cross of Calvary. The same thing that was between those two thieves. Here's a thief that was penitent. Here was a thief that was impenitent. And he said, Lord, remember me. I say unto you today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. What happened to the other man? Now notice again. They sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. They stumbled at that scandal on. The offense, the disgrace of the cross. Why did they add circumcision to take away the offense? Why do people add baptism today to take away the offense of the cross? Why do they add religion to take away the offense of the cross? Nobody wants to stand alone and say, my only hope is in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not trusting in anything else. They want a little religion because man is incurably religious. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Human righteousness, divine righteousness, righteousness that'll get you into heaven, is not an attainment, it's a gift. And you have to be like Hannah, who said, I'm only a beggar on a dunghill. Take your place and say, I'm a lost, condemned, ruined sinner, child of Adam, and I can't save myself. No matter what I do. If you keep all the Ten Commandments and offend in one point, you're guilty of all, and that'll keep you out of it. But Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary provided complete redemption. Now notice, they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Establish, submit. You know two verbs? Active, passive. Which are you in the matter of salvation? Active or passive? You have to submit. And after you submit, then the Holy Spirit takes possession of you. Then every day and every moment you can live to the glory of the Lord after you're saved. But you have to become righteous first by meeting God at Calvary. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth.